inches away from the outstretched hands.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Papa in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. When you think about the 2007 Giants, they were road warriors. They were also a team that liked to settle some old debts. Remember, the Giants had lost twice during the regular season to the Dallas Cowboys, but in the divisional round, they knocked off the Cowboys to advance to the NFC Championship. A frozen Lambeau Field against a Packers team that beat the Giants soundly in week two of the season. But for the Big Blue, the cold and bitter temperatures were not going to deny them a chance at revenge against the Pack.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, minus 1 degree with a wind chill of minus 23.
How you guys feeling today?
Feel good, man. You know, a little chilly.
Went out there with Toomer and Plaxico to warm up. Couple hours before the game. Usually it's we're out there 25 minutes kind of stretching and going through our routine. I think we lasted about six minutes maybe. But I said, y'all warm, y'all loose? They're like, yeah, we're good. We're good.
We only did five or six kicks in the pregame. Jeff couldn't catch the ball. His hands were so frozen.
I warmed up with Lawrence on one end, and by the time I got done with that, I couldn't feel my hands. I looked at him, I said, do you know that there's not one Green Bay Packer out here on the field right now? We are the only stupid guys out here.
I came out pregame with no shirt on just to feel it. And I knew I wasn't going to wear a shirt in the game either because I'm not going to be beat by the weather. But, yeah, it was cold.
I can't even explain how cold it was out there.
When that wind and that cold air hit you, you knew it was real. It was different. I'm not going to lie, I've never in my life felt anything like that. Game before the Super Bowl, don't matter how cold or hot it is, we got to play it.
In 2007, Green Bay quarterback Brett Favre was having one of the best seasons of his career. The Packers had the number one offense in the NFC and had beaten the Giants soundly in week two of the regular season. And in their 88-year history, they had never lost a championship game at Lambeau Field.
All you hear about is the pass, the Packers this, the Packers that, Brett Favre this, Brett Favre that.
I think we were all just fed up with Favre this and Favre that. You know, Green Bay this and Green Bay that. And what happened in the past is the past. You know, this was the present, and we were the New York Giants going into Lambeau, and we're going to find a way to win.
The Packers' high-powered offense began the game with first downs on each of their first two plays.
Got Hall running downhill, 30. 35, got a first down written down from behind. Jabril Wilson makes the tackle. 12 yards downfield, 37-yard line of Green Bay, first and 10. And Favre fakes the handoff, keep play rolling right, throws the right side, and he's got the big tight end running downhill. It is Bubba Franks across the 45, and he's got a first down gain of 11 to the 48-yard line.
But they would not get another first down until the second quarter. And their next nine plays, through three offensive possessions, gained just 5 yards as the Giants' defense swarmed and smothered the Packers' receivers and running backs.
We knew going into this that this was going to be one of those old-school dog-eat-dog, drag-out type of games.
And while Green Bay's offense was sputtering, Giants running back Brandon Jacobs sent a message to the Packers' defense on New York's first play from scrimmage.
First and 10 from the Giants' 18.
As Brandon Jacobs runs into Charles Woodson.
For Brandon Jacobs to start that game off running over Charles Woodson and to hear that hit and that smack, yeah, it let you know this is a football game. It doesn't matter about the weather anymore.
Brandon Jacobs ran the defender over.
Charles Woodson, stepping up and trying to take Brandon Jacobs high on a tackle is never a good idea.
He was coming so fast, I could have sidestepped him and kept on around the sideline. But at that time, it was so fast, I was just only thinking, I said, I got to punish him.
Charles Woodson, I don't know how many more times he's going to want to have to try to do that. I mean, you're talking about a 265-pounder running downhill.
I remember hearing the Packers players saying, yo, Charles, you okay? Yo, Charles, yo, Wood, you good?
To me, that's the biggest play of our entire playoff run because that truly identifies and lets you know who we were that year. when it came down to it, we're going to hit you in the goddamn mouth.
You know, that just kind of set the tempo for what the day was going to be.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game. Brandon Jacobs' ferocious first carry let the Packers' defense know they were going to be in for a long day. And on the Giants' first series of plays, wide receiver Plaxico Burress had a similar message for Green Bay's all-pro cornerback, Al Harris.
You know, I remember Tuesday leading up to the game, Al Harris basically said, you know, I'm going to shut down Plaxico Burress and I'm going to guard him one-on-one. When he comes to Green Bay, he knows what he's going to get. So, took it personal.
Third and 10, Manning from the gun, back to throw, dips one left, Burress has it on the run at the 40, and knocked down at the 47-yard line as he beat Al Harris on the slant.
Harris was beaten badly that time.
Plaxico on Al Harris was just, they played a lot of, you know, press man-to-man, and, you know, it wasn't a complex scheme, it was just throwing kind of old-school hitch routes.
He was regarded as probably the best corner in the NFL at that time. I knew him so well when I got on the field that I knew what he could do and what he couldn't do. And I just basically just played him to his weakness.
On New York's opening possession, Burress had three catches, two of them for first downs. As Eli Manning orchestrated a 14-play, 8-minute drive that gave the Giants an early lead.
So now a 29-yard field goal for Lawrence Tynes. He's trying to kick a rock right now. Fiegel's to hold. Snap is good. Kick on its way, end over end with the distance, and it is good. So Lawrence Tynes nails one from 29 yards out.
Green Bay's next two possessions were both three and outs. And on New York's first possession of the second quarter, they once again pounded the Packers with a heavy dose of Brandon Jacobs and Plaxico Burress.
Manning short set, looks left, back shoulder throw. He's got Burress working on Harris, and then Harris throws him down at the Green Bay 38-yard line.
Plaxico Burress is winning that one-on-one battle with Al Harris.
And Lawrence Tynes would extend the Giants' lead with his second field goal.
We really dominated that first half statistically, but what do we have to show for it? We had 6 points, I believe, right? I mean, it was a game where we didn't get in the end zone, and those are the games that you worry about where you're not punching them in when you should be.
On the Packers' first play after the field goal, they would show why they were the most feared offense in the NFL.
First and 10 from their own 10.
Favre on a little fake draw, back to throw. He's looking right, he's throwing right, he's got a receiver wide open. That's Donald Driver, up to the 40. He's still running down the right sideline, high-stepping his way, and he's going to go in for the touchdown, 90 yards.
Donald Driver for the touchdown, no flags.
Giants have dominated the game, but in one play, the Packers are an extra point away from the lead.
Green Bay's quick strike gave them a 7-6 lead. And with time winding down in the first half, they were once again knocking on the door to the Giants' end zone.
It was right before the 2-minute warning. They're driving. You know, they got a little momentum.
So it's third and 8 from the 19-yard line.
I knew it was an opportunity for us to just not give up a touchdown.
Favre out of the shotgun, barks out signals, takes the snap and drops back. Screen set up left.
Recognized the screen, I'm like, oh man, we're in trouble. And I remember seeing the lineman already kind of having a couple steps on me, and I'm like, I just got to shoot it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make the play, but if I don't shoot it, it's an easy touchdown.
Complete it, and then it's stood up by Antonio Pierce, who makes the play at the 19-yard line with a blocker on his back.
You talk about a great play by Antonio Pierce.
Nobody really talks about that, but that was one of the best plays I think I saw in the whole playoffs that year.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
And look what he's got out in front of him. I mean, there's three blockers, and yet he's able to go through them.
It should have been a touchdown. It should have been that type of play that breaks our back, and yet it was the type of play that broke their back. And again, it's Antonio Pierce. I wasn't too surprised.
He was the leader of our defense and was able to just bust through those three defenders and somehow, some way, wrap up the running back and save us yet again.
Crosby gets set. Ryan a hold. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end with plenty of distance, and it is good.
a real chance at coming away with a touchdown. Instead, they're going to have to go in down four.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game. New York began the second half the same way they started the game, with a long, time-consuming drive that featured the power running of Brandon Jacobs and the precision passing of Eli Manning.
Eli and Plaxico Burress were the only two guys who played like they weren't cold. They looked like they were in the backyard slinging it around.
Manning takes back to throw. He wings it over the right side, and he's got Burress again! He turned around Al Harris out of bounds at the 11-yard line of Green Bay. Goodness!
In that kind of weather, you really don't know what to expect from a quarterback as far as throwing the ball. And you know, we just went out and we just put on one of those shows that it'll be talked about for a long time.
The game became a back and forth battle, with the lead changing hands three times in the third quarter.
Manning, handoff left for Jacobs, plows into the end zone for a touchdown, and the New York Giants regain the lead. Favre to throw, drifts, fires one over the middle, wide open, touchdown, Donald Lee. And the Packers regain the lead with 5 minutes to go in the third.
Late in the third quarter, Manning connected with Amani Toomer on one of the most spectacular catches in Giants playoff history. A toe-tapping sideline grab that set up a touchdown.
Back to throw. Looks right, looks left, throws it left, looking for Toomer down the sideline, makes a diving catch. Is he in or out? They say he's in at the 12-yard line.
The ball was taking me closer to the sideline. I gave my best effort because I figure if I get 1 foot down and try to get my other foot down, either they're in or they're not.
Perfect throw by Manning, and somehow Amani Toomer got his feet down for 23-yard completion.
The out-of-bounds marker, it was ice. So falling on that, I got the wind knocked out of me, and it was very uncomfortable.
Manning back to throw, rolls right, throws right. Toomer's got it, and he steps out of bounds at the 4-yard line. Manning handoff for Bradshaw, cuts up the middle to the goal line. Is he in? Touchdown, Giants. And the Giants regain the lead here in the third.
Early in the fourth quarter, the Big Blue defense came up with a big stop to keep Green Bay out of the end zone.
Third and three for the Packers at the Giants 12.
Swings it left flat, Ryan Grant, and he runs right into Corey Webster. Decked for a loss back to the 20-yard line.
Big 37-yard field goal coming up here for Mason Crosby. Snap is good. Kick on its way. It's got plenty of leg, and it is good. So with 11:46 to go, we are tied at 20.
On New York's ensuing possession, Eli Manning marched the Giants downfield on an 11-play drive that once again took advantage of Plaxico Burress' matchup with Al Harris. With 7 minutes to play, Lawrence Tynes had a chance to give New York the lead again.
This will be a 43-yard field goal attempt. He does not have the biggest leg in the league.
This is where Tynes said his range was, 43 yards. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. It's got the distance. It is no good.
Yeah.
Lawrence Tynes hooks one left from 43 yards.
The 43-yarder with about 7 or 8 minutes left. It was a kick I knew I could make. I felt like I was going to make it when I went out there. I just didn't start it far enough right, and it missed left.
Two possessions later, the Giants would squander another scoring opportunity, this time with a little help from the officials.
Bradshaw to the 40, Bradshaw to the 35, still on his feet. Bradshaw still running to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. But check the flag.
Holding.
Holding Giants.
I looked back and seen the yellow flag, and I was devastated.
Terrible. I know the official, and I saw him 2 years ago when I was just visiting a Giants game, and I still tell him that's a terrible call. You know, Ryan Pickett was the defensive tackle, and he's a veteran guy, and he was getting blocked, and Ahmad ran by him, so he just decided to fall. And he threw his hands up in the air, and they called a holding on me, and it came back.
You know, I really wanted to end the game then, and I called it. That was heartbreaking.
The Giants' offense appeared to be unfazed by the holding penalty and continued their drive downfield.
Bradshaw gets it. Ahmad Bradshaw, the rookie, has a first down for the Giants. And now they're on the outer edge of field goal range for Lawrence Tynes.
And with 4 seconds left in regulation, Lawrence Tynes would get a chance to redeem himself.
Tynes from 36 yards out for the win. Snap is high. Beagles gets it down. Kick a line drive, and it is no good.
Left.
Missed it wide left.
I completely screwed this thing up. You know, the snap was high and all that other stuff, but I should have still done a better job with that kick. I completely bailed on it, tried to buy time, and yanked it way left. He was pretty upset. Tom's going to do what he does. He's going to motivate you. Come on, let's go. Let's make the next one. But two in a row, I sense I kind of hit a nerve with him, and I hit my own nerve, too. I was pissed off.
Lawrence was the kind of guy, pretty mentally tough. I knew he'd get through it. I was just hoping he got through it.
I'm thinking at that point, I put our team in a really bad spot. But for some reason, I never thought we were going to lose that game.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian, the 2007 NFC Championship game.
So the season has come down to an overtime. The Packer offense will get it first.
I think the advantage goes to the Green Bay Packers, first and foremost because of Brett Favre.
Well, once it went to overtime, at that point, they couldn't run the ball. And as bad as it sounds, you want Brett Favre to throw the ball. We knew that he was going to give us an opportunity. He gave us several opportunities in the game to catch the ball and finish the plays, and we just need one more.
Second and 8 for Green Bay at their own 28-yard line. Favre back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
Yeah. Young man has come back from the depths of the dungeon. I mean, he was buried in the doghouse, and he worked his way back on the field, got his confidence late in the year, and he's been a major contributor here.
You know, I felt that, you know, Brent Favre and Driver had a connection for, you know, a long time, a big pass history. So I knew to be on my P's and Q's, especially if they were going to come out and pass the ball. And he ran a quick out route, and I was able to undercut it.
Corey was benched. Corey didn't play well early in the season. But in the playoffs, he became a different person. And I think we all forgot about what happened previously, and we moved on because he worked his tail off to get back to where he was. And when that ball floated from the left hash all the way to their sideline, it was a no-brainer.
I felt that the most important thing about that was being able to make a play for my team and getting them to the next level.
But New York's first two plays netted only 5 yards, and they were facing a 3rd and 5 at the Packers' 29-yard line.
And it'll be 3rd down coming up.
Manning back to throw. Sets, delivers one left, knocked away from Smith, incomplete.
Decision time for Tom Coughlin.
And now if you're Tom Coughlin, you got to start thinking about how you're going to play it because your field goal kicker is rattled.
4th down, it's a 47-yard field goal. Earlier in the first half, I had slid up next to Lawrence Tynes and I said, Lawrence, can you make a 46-yard field goal? He turned and walked away from me. He wouldn't even answer my question.
I don't think Coach Coughlin was going to let him kick. We were going to go for it. And, you know, Tynes went up to him. He's like, Coach, I can make it.
I'm ready to punt. There's no way we're kicking this field goal. And next thing you know, here comes number 9. I look out, and he's running on the field.
Immediately when that ball hit the ground, I ran on the field.
He throws the cape off, runs out on the field. I yell, field goal. Coach is on the headset. No, Coach, don't let him do it. He misses from there. Look where the field position will be.
I ran out there. I got my spot. I looked up. I looked around. There's no snapper. There's no holder. I kind of saw Tom shoo them onto the field. So I'm like, all right, we're going to kick it.
All right, here goes Tynes again. From 47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good.
Yeah. Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
I knew I could make that kick, and so I credit Jay Alford for snapping in those conditions. It was brutal. And then obviously Jeff putting it down, and then we made the kick.
All I remember is running out in the field thinking to myself, he can make this kick. Perfect snap, getting that ball down, and listening to the hit. As soon as that ball started at that right upright, I knew it was good.
I turned around first to find Tynes, and he was already gone. I mean, he took off sprinting down the field, and I heard him say, "We're 60 minutes away." And that was kind of when it first hit me. Wow, we are one game away from a world championship.
I remember grabbing a man and kissing him on the cheek. I told him, "We're gonna win the Super Bowl." He was like, "You was right." I was like, "I told you."
The journey we had, but to win at Lambeau Field, you know, in the weather conditions that it was, you couldn't write a better script.
The biggest reward for me is my teammates. To see those guys in that locker room celebrate, the Strahans, the Jeff Eagles, that's what it's all about. It's pretty awesome.
Lawrence Tynes' game-winning field goal was the longest ever in postseason history in Lambeau Field, and he did it at 20 below. Who will ever forget that frozen red face of Tom Coughlin? But this Giants team was on a mission, avenging defeats from earlier in the year. Check another box for Big Blue as they win the NFC Championship game against the Pack. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.